The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
She's too excited. Her man looked like NFL positional coaching is getting out of control.
Why is that?
I think I've reached my moment of, all right, maybe we have too many assistant coaches. Maybe the NFL has a little too much money that we're paying somebody for this. You ready for this, Chew?
Yep.
So Sean McVay, Super Bowl winning coach, one of the most respected coaches in the NFL, right? I mean, a couple of years ago, if you talked to Sean McVay, you were getting head coaching interviews. He has hired a game management coordinator. John Stryker is the new addition to the coaching staff with the title of game management coordinator. And what that means, according to McVay himself, when he was asked what Stryker will help him with, quote, not to use my timeouts in the second half until I need to. We didn't have somebody else on the staff that could already handle this? What's the quality control coach doing on game days?
I don't disagree with that position because clearly there are some coaches that need that guidance. And I'm
sure
thinking of Dallas.
Yeah.
McCarthy's always been I wonder if this stems from Kyle Shanahan.
What do you mean?
Not knowing the overtime rules in the playoffs or when it comes to the Super Bowl where they don't have to worry about it. Because I always thought, and typically most teams had someone in the booth watching the replays or whatever, telling the coach, yes, replay it or don't replay it.
Yeah.
That I've known they had. But, I mean, there are so many rule changes and things like this. And I don't think – is there a cap as to how many coaches
– I don't think
assistant
so.
Coaches you can have on an NFL team?
No, there's no – I mean, there's no coaches union where you can only spend X amount of dollars. That's why the Packers can spend what they did on their special teams coordinator and Rich Bisaccia. You can have as many – as far as I know, you can have as many coaches as you like. Now, there's rules on how much those coaches can have contact with players during the offseason.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think there's a restriction.
But I agree. I mean, could someone else take over what this coach is going to do? I mean, because there's got to be an analytics guy.
Right.
Telling McVay, like, 4th-and-3 on the plus 45, you should go for it, right? There's got to be a guy like that saying, what are the odds, tell me?
Sure.
So, I mean, if it's unlimited and they got the cash to do it, then sure.
Game management coordinator to help with timeouts? Like, you can't just, like, learn situational awareness yourself? Like, how has it gotten to this point with NFL coaches? That they're just hiring a coach to help them. I wish I could just hire a coach. If there was a coach you could hire, if there was, like, a personal assistant, because that's basically what this is. Is this not? Almost like McVay's personal game day assistant?
But, Gabe, it is also someone to fire when they screw up. Hey, this guy told me to do that. You're gone.
Another
fire
layer.
Him.
Just
it's another layer of protection. Oh. Wouldn't you like that on the show? I didn't know I couldn't say that word. Rudy over here, who's the broadcast management specialist, told me I could say it.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, you, how much more insulation do you need on this show? If you say one of those words you're not supposed to say, I get yelled at because you said it. And Joshy will get yelled at it if he doesn't dump it. Like, you've already got that protection on the show.
I think Joshy's got the toughest job. Am I right, Joshy?
It can be. If I follow the rules, it's fairly easy.
Hold on. We had a perfect example on the show already. Earlier.
Okay.
Gabe couldn't hear, talk, nothing. Nope. Not my fault. Not
it's Joshy's
my fault. Yeah.
Touched a button back there somewhere.
I mean, you were giving the obvious signals because I couldn't hear you.
Yeah.
Tap into the earphones. I got nothing.
So you could understand what I was saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Can we make Ashy our game management coordinator? More things Ashy, blame
well,
him.
So well, here's.
Hold on. Can you just tell me what he does? No, I mean. We technically have, well, we got a lot of bosses.
Okay, so
in our little space here, Gabe, we have three.
Yeah, and then if you, I mean, technically four. I mean, if you want to go as high as Craig, we could probably have five bosses.
Well, you got Scowls in there too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the level of bosses we have, and the crazy part is, like, you've at some point have heard all of these voices on ESPN Milwaukee. So Ashton Rotman is the executive producer of ESPN Milwaukee. So he is like the first level boss, right? Then above him, we have
Brian D.
Does Marquette College Game Day still for us?
What's his title?
He is director of content.
Okay.
So then we have Greg Scalzel, former host of Scalzel and Brust, who's right above him. Like, so I guess where does Evan fit in? Where does Evan fit in?
He's
Evan's
above?
Above
Craig. Yes, he's above.
He's above Greg.
Because he's VP.
Yes. Okay. Yep. All right. Good call.
Ho. Yep. So he's after Brian before Scals.
No. So he's after. So you have Scals, who's the market manager. Technically, I guess in the organizational chart, Evan, who we have a meeting with on Wednesday this week, is above him as the vice president of content for the entire company of all of Good Karma Brands. And then, of course, you can hear Evan each and every weekday on Unsportsmanlike right before we jump on the air. And then Craig Karmazin, who's on our show each and every week. And then the Sunday Karma as well. So we have five bosses, Chew. We
is
have
that
five.
Normal for people?
Five bosses seems like a lot. Seems
that
like
is a lot.
Seems like a high. I think we have a lot of bosses.
Yeah.
Well, Chew requires a lot of bosses.
That is a very valid point.
Wait, so this is Chewy's fault that we have this
Nothing
many bosses?
Nothing has been more true on this show than that right there. And I think I've offended all of them at some point in time. Craig, definitely. Evan just wants to pick fights with me.
Yep.
I don't know why.
I think the only one you haven't offended is Scals.
He laughs at me, though.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't
he
know.
He just laughs at me.
I don't know what you could do to offend Scals.
Yes.
Yeah, because he just laughs at you.
I think this is informative. I think Ange needs an underboss, somebody that you can report to before going all the way up the chain to her.
Deal with Chewy buying two pairs of shoes on Amazon.
Yes.
Like, deal with the mundane BS before it gets to the, you know, she'll come in when it gets to the, you know, the higher end things. Uh-huh. Like, can I buy this, you know, 500 bottle of wine or whatever? But yeah, I think maybe you need a second boss at home, too.
I mean, when you get called into the principal's office or the boss, should you know what you did wrong?
I mean, I think you would typically have an idea. Yes.
Okay. Like when Holmgren called me and Brett in to the office.
Okay.
We had no idea what we did.
You
now,
did.
Granted, we did my TV show a little drunk, but I didn't think that was wrong.
Seems like the boss at the TV station might have an issue with that. I don't know why Holmgren would care.
Oh, because you're representing the Green Bay Packers.
And if you look back,
fine.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 6.57.
Sure.
Were you snitched on for having drank on your TV show?
No, he watched it.
Oh, so he just knew.
He was just able to watch. He was just able to watch and see
one of
that
the best,
you were intoxicated.
One of the best sell jobs ever by number four. Great. Because the problem is Brett was grounded.
Okay.
But he wanted to have a few pops, so he said, hey, have me on your show. I'll have our Kato Kalen bring some beverages, and we'll just sit there and hang. So it was actually a really good plan until this Holmgren decided to turn the TV on while he was laying in bed with his wife.
Hold on. Your really good plan to have beverages was to go on TV?
But he didn't have the beverages on TV. It was it was the excuse to break Brett out of his grounding.
I think just in general, if I'm trying to get away with something, I'm not going to be on TV at all or on the radio.
I thought it was a good sell job. You know who was a little bit involved in it too? I don't want to dime him out, but I will.
Who's that?
That works for our station.
Homer?
I don't think he imbibed at all. No. Vinny Vetrano.
Really?
Vinny used to work for Channel, what's the CBS in Green Bay?
5.
Yeah, Channel 5.
Yeah, so I knew Vinny used to work up there, but so he was a part of allowing you and Brett to go on the air intoxicated?
Do you know who Sean Lytle
is? I wish Vince did have a show right now. I want to steal him, and I want to know what his recollection of this would be.
Well, he was an understudy. You know John Mino?
Yes. I've heard him talk. I've heard
he
Vince tell stories.
He was the host of the show.
Okay.
And I think Vinny, at some point in his career, this is almost 30 years ago, was under Mino's purview.
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't do anything wrong, but...
All right. He was just around...
kind of guilt by association
a little bit.
Yeah. Which feels like a lot of things that happened back in those days.
Because Holmgren called Mino.
And he, what? So we asked, hey, were my guys having a couple pops before they went on?
Yeah, so he dimed us. He dimed us, but Brett, what a sell. How many beers did you guys have? Two? I think it's two, maybe. It might have been no more than three.
Why is two always the number people go to when they have too many?
How many have you had? Two? Just a couple.
Like...
But he bought it.
Does having two do you any more than having four?
For someone my size?
Oh, yeah, four's double two. That's double the amount of beers.
But if Chewy has four or two beers, I'm expecting the same level. Now, when we get to, like, eight, I start going, oof, okay, well, that's... But four is like, I mean, how long were you guys there? How long had you guys... Like, at that point, it's kind of like, yeah, I can understand. I don't think two's doing you much service.
Yeah, but he bought it. That's all that mattered.
Are you sure he bought it?
Oh, he did. Yeah.
I want to call him.
Are you sure he bought it, or did he just not want to see you in his office anymore and just decided?
Mike was a little naive at times when it came to things like that.
Is it possible it was naivete by design?
Ah. Could be. We didn't get punished.
What would a typical punishment for you look like? Let's say you told the honest truth on how many beers you drank. You don't have to tell us how many you had before you went on this TV show. I'm just saying, let's say you were honest and he decided that's enough for you guys to get punished. What is the punishment?
He'd say you're not going out after the next game.
Okay.
He was more of a dad than he was a coach. Well, he had that, you know.
Yeah, he had that father-like figure where you didn't want to disappoint him. And okay. All right, that makes sense.
Like, Gabe, I threw a cat after we blew up my parents' front seat when I had my learner's permit with an M80.
Yep.
And threw the cat in there and with a little catnip, and my parents bought that. That was a horrible story.
Do you think the parents bought it, or are they just exhausted because they had four of you in their family?
No, I think they bought it. I really think they bought it because I told a story to dime my brother out.
Well, because the thing is, I feel as I've gotten older and I think of some of the different little white lies that I've told my parents over the, you know.
Yeah.
You think you're clever. You think you get away with it. But also, I think the parents just reach a point where they just don't care.
Yeah.
They're just like, fine, we'll accept whatever you told us. Like, because here's the thing, Chew. Like, you probably thought you were a really clever kid.
Yeah.
I guarantee your children think that they have done some things to pull the wool over your eyes, but in reality, you're just like, I don't have the strength. And you just bought whatever they were selling.
Totally now, yeah. Totally now, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, kids aren't actually as clever as they think. Like, I was not as clever as I thought I was in high school. No, it turns out, big dummy.
Yeah.
Huge dummy.
No, I dimed Angie out, like, her parents were in town.
Wait, what? What? You dimed your... What? That's supposed to be your ride or die.
Listen, she had older brothers. The parents went on a vacation somewhere for the weekend. So the older brother called up Angie and said, you need to come pick me up at this party. I don't have a ride home. Well, Angie was like 14 years old, took the parents' car, picked them up, came back, hit a deer, totaled the front of the car. Took it over to the body shop at 14 across the street, said, fix this thing, and if any of you tell my dad, you're going to be on my list. And they never knew. They know now.
First of all,
that's
shout out to Angie for having that intimidation factor at 14.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Angie, your wife, for at 14 being able to go to her parents' auto body shop and going, hey, fix this, don't tell my parents.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
That's pretty good.
Josh, if you could have a game management coordinator in your life, what would it be for?
It's pretty boring, but I think it would probably just be somebody who can remind me when I'm supposed to do stuff. I have a calendar. I don't always put things in there, and I should. And it's just like simple, like, oh, you need to be leaving now. I also get distracted, like at home, if I'm doing something, need to go somewhere. Next thing you know, I'm already late because I haven't left the house yet. It's more of an assistant, I think, is probably.
Well, but again, I feel like game management coordinator is a fancy way of saying it's Sean McVay's game day assistant.
Yeah, like telling me, hey, you need to time out right here. Step back. You got to go somewhere. You need to be home. You need to go pick up food, whatever.
I think that's the equivalent of an NFL coach needing timeouts.
What about you?
That makes sense. Yeah, like things, even though I have a list, I will forget things at the grocery store because I won't put the things like in order of the way of the aisle I'm going in. So like I write it down by the recipe that I'm using, right? So, you know, I've got three different things that I'm making throughout the course of the week and I might miss, you know, the cilantro I need for the last thing while I'm in the produce aisle because I thought, oh, okay, I got everything on this list. So turns out I didn't.
All it is a Cato Kalen.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Just an organizer, somebody to help give you a little bit of direction, push you in the right direction.
Nothing wrong with that.
If you could choose between, let's narrow this down to, you can have like a chef / dietitian, you can have a chauffeur, or you can have just like a personal trainer. Which of those things do you think would make the biggest impact in your life?
Personal trainer.
What was the first one?
Chef.
Like a.
I need more of an organizer.
What do you
and
mean?
I'm with Gabe. Like the grocery store is a train wreck for me, and that's why I go every day because I forget three things, and I'm like, I'll just get it tomorrow when I go.
Well, that's with my new house. Like I have a grocery store that's like two blocks away. Walking over there and grabbing stuff all the time.
Yeah. Guessing I have more time in my life than you guys do.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I'd say that's fair.
The whole retired thing.
Like, I really have nothing to do after go work out. Sometimes I just go walk around Home Depot because it's fun.
You're just taking laps in the Home Depot? Like the old people used to take laps in the mall here?
People are doing that again, by the way.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Are they really?
We got some walkers up there.
Well, again, it's the winter. The Skywalk system here is fairly nice.
You're far. Yeah, it's a long haul.
So I could see that if you're, you know, a little bit older, it gives you a place to walk, some cool things to see, people in the pickleball courts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Blammer goes to Woodman's, and Woodman's is huge.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place to take laps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of a place like Woodman's, too, make sure you're picking up. Next time you head to the grocery store, make sure you're picking up Palermo's, because they have so many different brands, they're going to have a pizza for your taste. Because they have so many different brands under their umbrella. Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, from the hit Netflix series Stranger Things, Surfer Boy Pizza, and of course, the old standby, Screamin' Sicilian. Now, right now, in my freezer, I've got a couple different kinds. I've got an Urban Pie Margarita Pizza. I've got a Primo Thin, which is great if you're a little more calorie conscious. Also has a good cheese pizza. I like to have a couple different cheese pizzas at my disposal when we hit the Lent season. But I also want to have, you know, the Screamin' Sicilian. If you have so many different brands within that, maybe you like a thin and crispy, maybe you like the stuffed crust pizza, they have a pizza for your appetite. That's the great thing about Palermo's. And because they've been doing this for over 60 years, of course, you know the quality is going to be there when you see Palermo's on the box. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's is Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
pierogies birthday. And borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
It's so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Next hangout spot is found right in Waukesha. Q Club of Wisconsin is the perfect place to catch a game, play some games, and grab a drink. Bocce courts, dartboards, foosball tables, and of course, pool tables. 10 of them. Plus, the Q Club of Wisconsin has its best fish fries on Wednesdays and Friday nights, and you know they just pile it high. Check out the live music Saturday and stop in for brunch every weekend starting at 9 a.m. It's all happening at the Q Club of Wisconsin on North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Visit Q qclubwi.com or like them on Facebook.
The NFL Competition Committee isn't going to have anything this week, but maybe relatively soon, to propose for potential rule changes to the NFL for the 2024 season. Owners' meetings happen later in March, and that's when all of these things would end up being voted on. But there are two things that kind of popped up over the weekend, Chu, that the Competition Committee is at least considering. Again, they haven't necessarily put these up for votes anywhere. But the two things are, number one, the kickoff. The NFL's tried to figure out a way to keep the kickoff in the game, yet somehow make it safer. I believe it was a record low number of kickoff returns across the league this year because most teams don't have somebody like Keyshawn Nixon, where you feel like, okay, you can bring it out, take the gamble because you're going to get near the 25. Most teams, even a lot of teams, were just fair catching shorter kickoffs to bring the ball out to the 25-yard line. And they're considering the XFL rule. Are you familiar with this?
I am not.
So the XFL rule for kickoffs, which is not going to be used in spring football this year, the first year of the UFL, but was used in the XFL last season. So you have the kickoff from the 30, but the kicker is by himself. The rest of the team is lined up on the opponent's 35, 5 yards apart from the other 10 guys as well. So you have 10 guys on the 35, 10 guys on the 30. You've got the kicker back at his 30, and then nobody can move. In terms of the other 20 guys until the kickoff is caught. And then they brought touchbacks back out to the 35-yard line because they wanted to encourage returns. Is that something you could get into? It looks a little funky, I will say that. If you watched any XFL games, it looks funky. But I think in practice, it might be the best way to do it if you're looking to make the kickoff safer.
Should they just do away with it and give... Or do you create a competition with the kicker? You make a bullseye, and if he shanks it or puts it outside of the bullseye, then the other team gets the ball at the 40. If he nails the bullseye, then they get the ball at the 20.
I don't think you can get rid of the kickoffs in kickoff returns, just because it gives you an opportunity where if you decide to invest in that area,
yeah,
where you can get an advantage. It's what the Packers have been able to do.
No, I agree.
The last couple of years. Like, instead of everybody just starting at the 25... Like, I think it gives you an opportunity. If you have a good kickoff returner and you're down late, well, if he brings the ball out to the 35 or 40-yard line, now you've got a shorter yardage, you know, you've got a shorter field to work with in order to tie up or take the lead or whatever the late-game situation is. I think it... I do not want to see the kickoff go away.
I don't, but I mean, if there's going to be less kickoffs even in this next upcoming year, what's the value of bringing back a Keyshawn Nixon? I mean, I know he's an okay, what would you call him, an okay nickel guy or a dime?
Yeah.
But he's without the kickoff return, then he's just a guy, right?
Yeah, he's just a guy as a defender. He's special with the ball in his hands as a returner. And I think that's what you pay for.
Is it that unsafe? I mean, are there a lot more concussions on kickoff return as opposed to other special teams?
I think there are. I think they've done a good job of minimizing it, but it's still deemed an unsafe play because, again, you've got guys running down the field and then the contact happening after they have all that momentum of running down the field happening.
Yeah. I believe, if I remember this correctly, and I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure the concussions number were similar. It's just that there was more of those big injuries as like general health things because of the rate of speed. I don't believe like the heads were more at risk was my understanding. And it's also a visual thing, which is very important to the NFL with the appearance of how it looks. Somebody running 30, like they did away with the, what was it? The wedge.
Yeah.
That used to happen.
I don't think you can have any player shoulder to shoulder. I know they went from 4 to 2 because I used to be in that back wedge. And let me tell you what, it was not fun.
Well, because then you had a wedge buster, right? You had a guy that was just running and throwing his body at the wedge to try to break it up.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what percentage of kickoffs now are going outside of the end zone anyways? 80%?
Yeah, I mean, most of them are touchbacks, yes. It was a record low number of kickoffs. But again,
But it's a violent game, Gabe.
That's what I'm saying.
I get, you know, trying to make it as safe as possible, but without putting flags on a guy,
mm-hmm.
Still got to have some physicality.
So that's where this other rule that they're... I don't know how they do this. I don't think they can do this. Are you familiar with what a hip drop tackle is?
Yeah, you showed me, I think.
So in this article from Pro Football Talk, this describes a hip drop tackle occurs when a tackler pulls down a ball carrier while dropping his weight onto its legs. It has caused several notable injuries, and Judy Batista of NFL Media reports that the competition committee is, quote, aligned in eliminating it from the NFL. However, the Players Association, Chew, is against this rule. Because, again, outside of that, I mean, you can Google hip drop tackle and see it. I don't know how you can determine what's not a hip drop tackle and what is a hip drop tackle. Like you said, this is a violent game. Getting other grown men to the ground requires force.
Yes.
And if they somehow push this one through, the first 2 weeks of the NFL are going to be unwatchable because there are going to be so many damn flags they're trying to figure out what this rule is.
Yeah, and I mean, you get into compromise positions as a tackler, where at times you have to do whatever you can to get the player on the ground.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, it's very similar to the horse collar, right?
Well, the horse collar at least is like I know what a horse collar is, right? It's when you're reaching around and you're reaching, you know, you're reaching to try to grab.
Sure.
Whereas this, like, you're engaged with the guy already, and you could just tackle a guy normally and be putting your weight on his legs. And now that's suddenly the one official from one angle is going to say, oh, that's a hip drop tackle. And next thing you know, you're penalized 10 or 15 yards or whatever they decide to do
For me, this game, which is a lot different than when I played it, has enough explosive plays in it. Would you agree?
Yes.
I don't need any more explosive plays. And that's all this is going to create.
Yeah.
It's just going to create more explosive plays.
Well, because I feel like these hip drop tackles happen a lot when you're in pursuit, when you're trying to get an angle on someone, when you're trying to chase them downfield. So it's like, okay, how do I tackle this person now when I'm running side by side with them trying to tackle you?
I know. It's just, where does it end? You know? And then they're going to be on to the next
one. Well, because again,
these players can't tackle as it is.
The NFL, Chew, there are going to be injuries. We're not going to be able to get rid of them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so much for, and I know Bakhtiari was a big part of the uproar when it comes to artificial fields. And I just see on the ticker that the Bengals are going to a turf field. So much for the NFL. I mean, it's almost laughable when you think about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It absolutely is.
I mean, there's going to be injuries no matter what you do.
Yeah, and I don't think you can legislate it out of the game. It's part of, like, the physicality, I think, is also a part of the attraction of the NFL.
Yeah.
Has been for a long time. Now I feel like people are going to come at me and say that's not the case. For whatever reason, you're not allowed to say that part out loud, that the physicality of the NFL is something that people enjoy. I mean, it's something we used to celebrate. I understand why we don't celebrate it anymore. You know, when I think of the jacked up segment that used to happen as part of Monday Night Countdown on ESPN.
But that was all about the head, Gabe.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And it's great. I agree 100%. With them having had multiple concussions.
Yep.
They addressed that. They did a nice job with it. But let's enough already.
The physical nature of the NFL, you're not going to be able to get rid of it. It's just it's just not a part of it.
I agree.
Golf lovers, listen up, because we've got the opportunity of a lifetime for you. We're heading over to Scotland. That's right, on the tee, heading over to Scotland this October with our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. Join me and Stephen Watson. We'll head overseas to play some historic and highly ranked golf courses like Dumbarney Links, Carnoustie, King's Barnes. Also going to play the Jubilee Anew and the Castle Course. This package includes green fees, lodging, transportation, and more. There are only a limited amount of spots available, so sign up now. How do you sign up? Well, it's easy. Just text GOLF right now, 800-990-3776. GOLF, G-O-L-F, 800-990-3776. A link will be sent to you. You can get the full itinerary, see all the things we're doing, see the dates that we're going to be in Scotland, and there's also a button at the bottom of the page where you can put in your deposit to secure your spot to go to Scotland with myself and Stephen Watson at On the Tee in Wisconsin Golf Trips. Text GOLF to 800-990-3776.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse. John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
That was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Did you happen to see when fans stormed the courts in Wake Forest's win over Duke this weekend?
I did.
So this has led to a bigger discussion about whether court storming should be banned in college athletics, because Kyle Filipowski, who is the starting forward center for Duke, was injured as the fans from Wake Forest came running out there. It had suffered some sort of ankle injury, needed help getting off the courts after the game. And that has just led a wild debate online. Wild debate. They were just talking about it on Get Up for a long time about whether or not court storming should be banned. Should it be banned?
No. I like it at the college level. But, I mean, you have to think of player safety. We were just talking about the NFL and their rule changes. Do you stop the game with 5 seconds left, get the players off the court, run the clock down, and say, go ahead, have at it? Because I don't think you can, without bringing in a lot of security, it's very difficult to stop that, especially when you're talking about students.
100% true. So that's where I land on it. Like, this whole talk of banning. So John Shire, who is the head coach of Duke, after the game said it should be banned. When are we going to ban court storming? When are we going to ban that? How many times does a player have to get into something where they get punched, or they get punched, or they get punched, or they get taunted right in their face? It's a dangerous thing. Caitlin Clark, after Iowa had lost a game this year, a fan kind of ran into her. She hit the deck. Obviously, she ended up being okay, was not injured, didn't miss any time. But my whole thought on this thing is, like, isn't court storming already banned? Like, fans are not allowed on the floor. But everyone just kind of, I don't know if they just look the other way. But you can't stop students from doing this.
No, and I go back to when we beat Carolina at home in the NFC Championship game. They came over, and they had mounted police there.
Sure.
Because they were anticipating this, but they said anyone before the end of the game, anyone on the field after the game has ended will lose your season tickets or your privileges of going to a game.
Sure.
I get that at the pro level.
Yep.
Like, it should be banned from that standpoint just for player safety. But I don't know. I like it in college football and college basketball. So, I mean, that's a fun environment.
So that's my thing, Chu, is I just don't see it. I don't see how you stop this. Like, if students decide that they, like, what are some actual practical solutions to stop an entire section and sections? Because a lot of times at these college arenas, they're on both ends now, right? It's not just, oh, they're under this one hoop. No, they're under that hoop and they're under that hoop.
Yeah.
So now they're coming from two directions on both baselines, as they were in at Wake Forest for this game. What are practical solutions to stop that? Because if they want to go, you're not stopping them in a college football game this year. After Kansas beat, I believe it was Oklahoma, who was a top 10 team at the time. We all remember. Do you remember what happened there? Kansas rushes the field. They took the goalposts down, and that wasn't enough. They then took the goalpost out of the stadium and threw it on a pond on campus. Like, if, which was hilarious. We talked about it at the time. It was cool. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, if these students decide they're doing something,
they're going to do it.
They're going to do it. I don't know any actual practical solutions to do this. And I'm with you. Players say, like, there should be a way that you can figure out safely to get players off the floor. Because, like, losing a game in a hostile environment like that, like, part of the punishment shouldn't be injury, right? So you got to figure out a way to, you know, that I agree with you. Player safety, you have to do it. But I just don't know if there's a practical way to do it other than just hope that the students rushing on the floor are want to get to their team as quickly as possible to celebrate and aren't going to try to take some cheap shot at an opposing player.
Well, I wouldn't think. I mean, I get it. I would just take the revisiting team off the floor, because if I was part of the Wake Forest team, I don't want to go in the locker room, right?
Oh, 100%.
You want to celebrate,
yes,
with the students, but I don't know, do you make an announcement saying any interaction with a visiting player or something along those lines, because we are going to videotape, it will result in arrest?
Yeah, I mean, you
can. And I don't think the fan at Wake Forest did anything intentional.
It didn't.
To the Duke player.
It did not seem like that to me either. And depending upon, I don't know. I think all the contact there was incidental. And anybody who's trying to slow it down and say, oh, Filipowski was trying to trip this fan, I think he's making an argument in bad faith, because I don't know if you can definitively say that. If you shorten the clip just enough and you start it where his leg is out because he's trying to take, you know, a step forward so he can get off the court, does it look like he might be trying to trip someone? Yes, but I don't know if you can definitively link that argument one way or the other. But you have to find a way, yes, to get that opposing team off the floor safely.
I think you just go to the visiting coach and say, do you want us to stop the game with 5 seconds left to remove the players from the court?
Yeah. And look, sometimes with 5 seconds left, like, the game's not over. Now, this one was, I think it was like a 5-point lead or whatever, and the students started running on the floor before zeros were on the clock, so that was part of the issue. But I don't think you can stop court storming in college athletics. I just don't think you can, because too many students now have seen it happen, and they want to do it.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't happen. You're not. That's not guaranteed to be part of your student experience. I think of Marquette. I think the only time that they've rushed the floor was that back in 2017, I want to say? Years ago, when they beat number one Villanova. Nova was coming off of winning the national championship. They were the number one ranked team. Marquette won a close one. Like, Jalen Brunson had a chance at a layup, missed it late, and Marquette grabbed the rebound, and then, you know, the students rushed on the floor. You beat the number one team in the country, you're on the floor, that's the way it happens. But that's what, I mean, students are anticipating that. They want to have that opportunity to rush out there on the floor if you pull off that upset. So I don't see it going anywhere.
I think the bigger discussion, Gabe, is what is rushing the court etiquette? When are you allowed to rush the court? Now, clearly in this situation, yes. Wake Forest not even ranked, beating, what was Duke?
Number eight.
Yeah, I mean, that's rushable, I guess.
Yeah. Duke has the blue blood thing, too.
Yeah, they've got that, yes.
They're more rushable than, say,
well, they bring
in Arizona.
Themselves. Yeah.
Yes, and that's another part I was going to add here. John Shire and Duke being the messenger of, we need this to change, you're not going to win a lot of favor from general fans.
No.
I agree.
No. Yeah, it's the wrong, it's coming from the wrong place.
Yes.
I would also say, like, some sort of exciting shot. Like, if, let's say in 3 years, Wisconsin's, you know, hovering around the top 10, but Marquette beats them inside Fiserv Forum on a last second shot. You know, somebody hits a three at the buzzer. Yeah, rush away. You know, an exciting shot against a rival, I think you can run on the floor. I think that fits it. Because it's all about the excitement of the moment. So if you hit that game-winning shot as the clock hits zeros, I think running out of the floor is okay as well. But yeah, usually it's going to be, you know, top. If you're Duke, Kentucky, UNC, chances are if you're top 10. Otherwise, probably top 5.
Do they do it in high school? I know you do a lot of baseball, or used to do a lot of basketball games.
No, I don't think so.
As I say, I've seen it happen. It seems rare.
Yeah, because for the most part, like, I mean, if you're going to your high school's game, like, everybody knows, you know, some teacher's going to be able to recognize you if they don't want you doing it.
Mr. Yeah. Johnson can easily bring those ramifications to home hour the next day.
Like, I've seen it at when they do the state championships at the Kohl Center, they'll usually have, like, two teachers hold, like, a rope to prevent the students, which isn't really preventing anybody from doing anything, but it's really the two teachers where if they see you run out there, then you know you're going to get in trouble.
Detention.
Yeah, there's going to be some sort of repercussions to that. Right now is the chance for you to win some of these Greater Milwaukee Golf Show tickets. It's presented by Old Fashioned Golf. It's returning this Friday, March 1st. It runs through Sunday, March 3rd, at a new location this year, Mosh Performance Center in Lux Golf Base. First 1,000 people each day get a free sleeve of golf balls. It's the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show, March 1st to the 3rd, at Mosh and Lux Golf Base in Franklin, Of course, now it has free parking. Visit royalgolfshows.com and save $5 on advance tickets. Or be caller 5 right now, 800-990-3776, and win two free tickets to the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show. Caller 5, two tickets to the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show, which begins on Friday, presented by Old Fashioned Golf.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, I mean, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Only had one poll on the poll today. With the NFL increasing salary cap by $30 million in 2024, do you expect the Green Bay Packers to be spenders in free agency? 70% of people still saying no. Which is fair. I mean, that's kind of how we've been conditioned as Packer fans.
I was gonna say, that feels like conditioning.
Yeah.
I did want to ask that because I think later we can ask, do you want them to? And be interested to see how much that number is.
Yeah.
Because also some people have... some portion of the Packers fan have decided that, like the Packers, it's useless in free agency, which is not really the case. You can get better through free agency.
Yeah. You don't have to, you know, exclusively spend through free agency, but a little right here and there. It's not a bad thing. Certainly has been helpful for the Packers at times. Ronnie L., is based on our last conversation we had about court storming, also texted this. If you don't want the court storm, then don't get upset. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. No sympathy for Duke. When you're a perennial contender, you should prepare for your team how to handle a court storming. Look, the fans ran on the floor. Zeros had yet to hit the clock. I understand this, but like, also, it's not as easy as just going, oh, we're not going to get upset today. That's just not how sports work.
Mm-mm. And like, what do you mean?
Consequence. Yeah. Like, and look, I understand if you don't have any sympathy for Duke because they're Duke. Mm-hmm. I get it, right? But at the same time, the consequence of losing a game on the road should not be injury. I feel like this is something we can get behind.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's just got to be a better way to do it. Or maybe there's not. I honestly don't know. I just think that the comments of ban court storming, it's just frivolous. Like, you can't actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
Does the NCAA do anything good?
No. God, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Just checking.
Yeah, no.
Hold the umbrella of the sports we like to watch.
Yeah.
Other than that, no.
Wildy and Tausch, they're coming up next. 94.5 ESPN.